Hello, chat. It's April 14th, and we're here with government and robots, and we're still stuck in quarantine, and things are terrible.
Things are starting to feel a little bit like when we make fun of China for things.
It's a very weird world. I think it's getting weirder in my estimation because we're getting back. A lot of normalcy is creeping back in, but it's still there.
Yeah.
Oh, how did the monetization go last week?
Fine. We were okay. One episode of the news was demonetized briefly, but it came back. So we'll probably
I
only
see we get the like the little virus notice on one of our episodes.
We haven't gotten that in 2 weeks.
Yeah. No, well,
I thought we had one last week.
We on one of the episodes, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
And it was like it was demonetized for a few hours. So that was probably a loss of like $100 or something.
Don't tell them how the sausage is made. So I don't know. Do we risk saying it this week?
No, we don't say it.
No, okay.
We continue to refer to it as human malware or, yeah, the thing. It's whatever.
Well, but so like I was saying, it's still there and you read those headlines and it's like, oh, we've surpassed China now in deaths.
Yeah.
Oh, and infections. But my life is becoming more and more normal.
I don't know. You know, there's one number that's coming out of China, but then there's also like the mobile subscriber things, and they've like we lost 21 million subscribers, and it's like, what?
Could just be detained.
It's going to be between one of those two numbers.
But here we are, and what else are you going to do? Just keep struggling forward, right?
Wait.
Just sit at home and
stare out
the
window
cats.
Wistfully.
Also, you're all going to be very disappointed, and I tried to convince her. But Krista has locked herself in a room, and we won't get any Rue this week.
Yeah, I'm in our guest room, and they're just so Rue won't, you know, constantly paw at me and the whole time. Yeah. So
some people liked that. Some people did.
A lot of people liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of a mix, but I figured it that way, you know, it's not quite as distracting.
Maybe we'll do every odd week Rue,
and
every even week no Rue. Now, Wendell, you mentioned you've been, and I think this is going to happen a lot, and I've kind of felt this myself, and I almost broke. If I could have gotten Chinese food, I would have broke, but I couldn't find any because they've all closed down because people are afraid of Chinese food now.
Because you know, people are really dumb.
Makes sense.
We live in the sticks. But you said you have been giving into the temptation.
I have,
so
yeah.
Let's itemize.
I did the barbecue place. That was really good. And I just did the meat takeout again. So that's the second week in a row I've had meat takeout.
What's your meat order?
Local?
Smoked turkey, barbecued dry rub, barbecue ribs, and sliced pork. Mm. Just get the meat. And then you can get like three meals worth of meat for like $15, which is still kind of a lot. But that's not bad.
Are you talking about the local barbecue place or the chain?
The chain. Okay. I like the chain better than the local place because I'm
really?
A terrible person. Except for the brisket. Yeah. The local place makes far superior brisket.
I don't know if they're still open.
I mean, they're cooking meat in an oven, huh?
Yeah.
How much of a chain can that be? I guess maybe it's... But they probably get fresh meat. Yeah.
Also, the local bakery had been closed. They opened this week, and so I had takeout breakfast from there.
Hmm. Huh.
Is that it? You made it sound like it was a lot.
Yeah,
no,
I was waiting for the rest of the list.
No. So like, the weird thing this week is that like over the last couple of weeks, I didn't really have any trouble getting just basic groceries like eggs and cereal and milk and stuff like that. And on three excursions, no milk.
Really? Because I was able to get everything except Clorox wipes this week.
I need milk, or I will very soon. And I was like, well, maybe we'll just go to a gas station and look for it. But I
also went to the construction supply place to get some much-needed things for home repair, which I guess is technically not an emergency, but what else am I going to do? And
what time did you go? It's usually, like, swamped if you go on the weekend. I made that mistake a few weeks ago.
Oh, it was on like, Wednesday of last week, and it was in the morning. And it was still surprisingly busy, but they were only letting one person in the store at a time, which was like, oh, that's amazing.
Literally one at a time?
One
per group.
Yeah, so like a group would show up at the door and they're like, no, you pick one.
I like that.
Yeah,
I think that's
the
best
like
policy.
Too.
Yeah.
So, they did not have, I was going to try to get some cleaning supplies and water and stuff while I was there because the little local hardware store has Nestle water. That is the only source of Nestle water.
I got Nestle water at Meijer this week.
That's amazing.
That's what I was saying. Everything was there. I couldn't get my usual toilet paper, but there was plenty of toilet paper. and everything else was, so it's really getting back to normal there.
Yay, supply chain. Although the number of infections in distribution centers is kind of creeping back up there.
Worrying, yeah.
And our county number doubled.
Yeah.
But I think that was like a nursing home somewhere, right?
Yeah. It makes me worried, though, because apparently it's very long-lived on paper products, because how else would it be spreading so far among postal carriers and everybody else?
And everybody
just been leaving stuff like in the car or the mailbox for 2 or 3 days before.
Well, now your car's just teeming with it. Everybody who hasn't touched their mail in weeks, they're going to go for their checks.
Oh yeah.
So then we're going to get a spike.
Oh, it does make me sad though.
I see it about
like,
the checks.
It's like we're getting our $1,200 checks, and it was like woo. And then I was reading news, and the whole rest of the world has a much better deal than we do because everybody's getting like 60% to 90% of their regular wages while they're not working. And America gets $1,200 one time.
Yeah. And I would normally, you know, like, definitely be playing the, you know, don't give away free money angle on that. But when you look at the portion that goes to giving us our $1,200 checks versus the portion that goes to bailing out companies that they should just be crumbling, we should just let them die. Then I'm like, yeah, give us more money, assholes.
Do you know about the like where that $1,200 is coming from? Because it's even more insidious than you probably realize.
It's one of those bills. I mean, we're going to pay for it.
It's an advanced tax credit on 2021's taxes.
Oh, so you...
Yes.
Wow.
Guess what the corporation bailouts are not?
Yeah, they're never paying that back.
Thank you for supporting my campaign. Here's your free money.
Yeah, and the Postal Service here is also collapsing because they are the only organization in America required to fund their pensions 75 years in advance. Must be 100% funded. That is just crazy.
I mean, if that goes, so it's what, September?
Mm-hmm.
If it go away in September, you can't operate the country without the mail.
No.
This got
to
be.
This is a backdoor way to privatize the mail. And it would not be a problem if their pensions were funded normally like everybody else.
Well, we're dangerously encroaching onto political territory, and people hate that.
Let's talk about Zoom.
So
all the news this week is Zoom.
Zoom, I thought about clustering Zoom altogether, but there really is a delineation between government Zoom and business Zoom. But everybody hates them. Everybody hates Zoom. That is one of the titles this week, I think, will definitely be. So let's start with the U.S. Senate, who hates Zoom.
Oh, this machine's struggling. Oh, we're using the ad blocker. The U.S. Senate advises members to stop using Zoom. This is a result of last week and the week before's news that came out that it turns out that Zoom may have been built with baling wire and duct tape, isn't secure, and they may have accidentally sent a lot of traffic through China. We're going to talk about more security issues with Zoom this week, but yeah, it's about as secure as a wet paper bag.
And I don't know why everybody... Well, I do know why. I think everybody chose Zoom it's because it's just so stupid simple.
Yes.
It is very stupid simple.
You get that URL, you get that ID, and you're good to go. But therein lies the security concern, as we found out.
I got to wonder what, like, at Microsoft, like, what those executives, like Satya Nadella, is looking at this. Like, we own Skype, and then we turned our communicator server into Skype for Business, and now we've got Teams. And you mean to tell me that our products are so much worse than Zoom that people are like, yeah, let's use Zoom? Because at one time Zoom and Skype were like, Zoom was a lot smaller than Skype, and they bought Skype and Skype was bigger.
Well, Zoom just blew up overnight. Like,
it's because it was simple. And
yeah,
well, they IPO'd in 2019
and, like Skype used to be.
But yeah, you need, if you could take the security of Google and Microsoft and just take all the bloat out of it.
Yeah,
but you could say that about any of Microsoft products. Really, right? I mean, just don't. It sucks because you make it suck. You work to make it suck.
Microsoft, I promise, if you make a good product that doesn't suck, people will come and you can figure out how to monetize it later. You'll be fine.
And if you make a product that's simple to use, even if it's absolute trash under the hood, people will use it until they figure it out. But they will figure it out, and it's not just in the U.S.
Taiwan has told its agencies not to use Zoom on security grounds. Yeah, Taiwan's cabinet has told government agencies to stop using Zoom videos, conferencing apps, because they took a look at it and said, wow, this is made out of used baling wire and duct tape. Let's not use this.
Now, you got to think, they didn't mention this, but you got to think that something had to do with the fact that the traffic went through China all of a sudden. Because if you're Taiwan, you're like, oh, please, no, no, no. We cannot let that happen.
So, oh, Lord.
Yeah. Embarrassing.
I had some friends who wanted to use it, and dang it, I did use it. And it is rock dumb simple, but I uninstalled it right after.
I'm going to go find your recording and post it on Twitter.
I have this.
I did like the feature. So it has like a background deletion feature, and then you can put whatever image you want behind you. And that was really fun.
Well, that's another thing they did right. They made all those stupid little...
They added that to Teams, like, right when this thing started to happen.
Really?
Yeah, so, for that reason.
That. We can switch to that, maybe, next time.
But the other thing with this is that the number of people that are using Zoom for, like, business stuff has also gone up a lot. And, like, I have a bunch of, like, a business contacts that use it. Okay, whatever. And then I get a weekly recurring meeting, and I was running it inside a virtual machine, and it does all kinds of crazy stuff to the VM. But we'll talk about that more in the security section.
But
not great.
What if, on the opposite side of that coin, you're a company that makes a communication tool that is solid in its security, rock solid, so good that even the government can't break it? Well, that would be a recipe for success, right?
Messaging app Signal threatens to dump U.S. market if anti-encryption bill passes. Signal is calling on its users to oppose the Earn It Act, which it fears will undermine secure end-to-end encryption, forcing it to use the U.S. market. See, this is crazy that we have the Earn It Act. Like, nobody knows their history, because Ben Franklin communicated with France using, at the time, unbreakable encryption. And that was, he was right. Like, he would have wanted that for citizens, because Ben Franklin.
But it's interesting that we haven't seen the backlash against Earn It like we did net neutrality and the CPPA, because I think they've timed it perfectly.
Yeah,
with the crisis.
There's a global pandemic right now.
Yeah, no, and so they're really gonna sneak that one through, and we're gonna get it, and it's gonna be a disaster.
Yeah.
Scroll down and look at this picture someone made.
What am I looking
for? It's a robot.
This.
Barbot. It's like encryption.
Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
With the blue filter?
Yeah. And then like it's got like, yeah, the numbers over top. Someone got paid to make that, and it wasn't me.
Well, they've got time on their hands. Why not do it?
You know who else didn't want us to use encryption? The UK, when we were just a colony.
Yeah. Well, obviously, whoever's in power always wants to spy on who's not. But they don't have that forward thinking. Like, wait, what if we're not in power one day? What will that look like? But I'll be dead by then, so who cares? And speaking of people in power, the golden god Trump has dictated once again, maybe a little toned to have to announce this right now. I mean, it's always good to look to the stars, but when the earth is burning below you, perhaps delay those looks. But still, this could be a good thing, I guess.
Trump signs executive order to support moon mining and tap asteroid resources. This is really just a further clarification of past studies. There was like an international treaty that said, hey, we're not going to exploit resources in space. That was like in 79. We never signed that.
Because we knew.
Yeah, we knew. And so there have been a couple. I think the most recent one was 2005, which was, hey, private companies can go to the moon and do stuff. And so this one's even more explicit that says, hey, you want to get some robots on the moon mining stuff? Go right ahead.
Does this really need an executive order?
Yeah, because you want to, before anybody, like, what if Musk gets there first and starts the SpaceX moon colony? You want to have some kind of infrastructure so you can take over and, you know, not let him become a moon baron and threaten the Earth. But at the same time,
George Washington all over again.
But at the same time, you want to make sure that, you know, as America, you can go up there. I think, isn't the rule kind of, it's not, I don't know if it's explicit, but it's sort of understood. It's kind of like homesteading. Like, you have to improve it.
Yeah.
And then it's yours. Yeah. But you can't just like claim land that you don't do anything with.
Yeah. Well, and as we know from, you know, Eastern Kentucky, it is stupid easy to squat land. In Eastern Kentucky that belongs to the government, you just squat land and be like, I've had a trailer there for 7 years. And they're like, all right, it's yours.
Yeah, it's amazing how much land in America is public land.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the only way we keep any wildlife.
Yeah.
So probably a good thing. We have covered some of our favorite stories in the past had to do with tricking AI. The adversarial images and sounds and stuff like that. You can pretty easily, there was the stop sign that tricked the Tesla. Or no, it was a 55 mile an hour. They turned into an 88 mile an hour.
And also the holographic banana.
The banana sticker was maybe the best example. But it's laughably easy to do. There was also the license plate dress.
Yeah, that was amazing.
All kinds of great examples. And obviously, that's so easy to do that ultimately they want to make that illegal. I think that's what they're working toward here.
Yeah. DARPA is pouring millions into a new AI defense program. Here are the companies leading the charge. Intel and Georgia Tech are spearheading the Pentagon-backed efforts to defend against attacks that could trick tomorrow's self-driving cars. Really, they just want to build an adversarial data set so that they've got the regular data set, and then they've got the other data set that's like, okay, this stuff is designed to be deliberately misleading. You need to figure that out. But ultimately, it's going to take another layer in AI to understand context a little better, so that like the license plate dress, the computer could recognize, oh, these are pictures of license plates because there's no context of the license plate being attached to a car.
Yeah. And we are sort of charging headlong into this facial recognition self-driving world without considering these things. And you look at the parallel of, you know, like people who will hack into a hotel and turn off the heat. People will do this.
Yeah.
And they will.
Well, it's like all the pacemaker stories we do.
I think that's a better example, yeah.
Yeah.
Turning off someone's pacemaker is maybe the darkest thing. And the fact that people are hacking the WHO at a rapid pace, although that could be just because they suck. But, you know, people will do nasty things with technology. We have to plan for that. So I guess that's kind of a good thing, maybe. Now, as you are sitting at home and, you know, how do you kill the time? I mean, you got to set up Zoom, right? You're going to agree to terms of service, and you're reading every word, right? I guarantee you, the highest echelon of security-minded people, Krebs does not read the terms of service. I guarantee it.
And, next. Okay.
Yeah.
Next.
Nobody does it, and it's just kind of this known value. It's like, well, sure, I'm going to lie about this. Everybody does it. And thankfully, we now have clarification about how far that can go legally.
DC court says terms of service violations can't trigger federal CFAA prosecutions. I love this case because it was preemptive. So some researchers, they had scraped some public data because they were doing some research, but the data was hidden behind a website that has a terms of service that was like, hey, don't scrape our data. So they have preemptively sued the Department of Justice, saying, well, there have been times where you have gone after researchers that have broken the terms of service. We want a court to affirmatively say that this is not criminal. And the court actually agreed. They said, the Department of Justice said, look, this is crazy. We would never do this. And the people that brought the suit said, well, here's some examples of you doing exactly that. And the judge was like, yeah, what gives?
And, okay, if you'll never do it, you don't need the right to do it.
Which the judge said, yep, sounds good.
Sounds good to me. So that's nice. Now, that does not include civil. You can still be sued into oblivion.
Yes.
But you can't be put in jail.
Yeah. So. And if anything, a civil suit's more annoying because, you know, if the website's operating in Delaware, they can sue you in Delaware. And then you have to deal with a lawsuit in Delaware, which is wildly expensive.
So, hack at your own risk, but know that you won't have to go to jail. You might have to eat ramen for the rest of your life, but you don't have to go to jail. And we might all be doing that anyway.
I have eaten a lot of ramen since this started.
Can't confirm. I was trying to get cereal all week. I've been craving cereal all week, and I just got milk today, and I haven't had any cereal yet. So immediately after the news, that's what I'm doing.
I had a bowl of cereal right before we started.
What kind of cereal you got?
The Special K that has like the almonds and crap like that in it.
All the fancy stuff.
It's so good.
Have they started making that all almond cereal yet? Remember the one that was going to be like $18 a box?
No,
we got to try that.
Yeah, that would probably we got to stream that.
Christy, were you going to tell us your cereal?
I was going to say that's a Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh, like wow. A true adult.
Really, that's even that's sugary even for me. I mean,
we have that, and then we have Frosted Flakes, and we have regular granola.
Oh yeah, I forgot. I also had a chocolate shake this week. I couldn't stand. I was like, I have to have
from where?
Hardee's. A Hardee's drive-through.
Did you get the large? The large shakes at Hardee's are like...
Yeah, they're just...
It's vat.
It's a gallon of stuff.
I want the chat to tell me what blender to buy. That's under $100.
Well, what are you blending?
I want to make smoothies because I've got a bunch of spinach I need to harvest.
Get the
strawberries and bananas.
Either the bullet or the fruit ninja.
Yeah.
Someone recommended the fruit ninja to me. Maybe that's what I'll get.
Or just a reasonable horsepower blender will be fine.
Nah, but those two are upside down.
I don't have a blender, yeah.
So it's very easy. There's no like pouring and washing.
Oh.
It just, you screw the little thing off and then you've got a cup of juice.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. That's what I want.
If you want smoothies, they're expensive, but they're specifically built for smoothies.
I couldn't find anything that was under like $50, so like I'm willing to spend a little bit. But
you won't find anything under $50.
I don't want one of those like Vitamix ones that's like $300. Like I'm not looking to spend that much on something that I'll use probably maybe once a week.
No, definitely do the bullet or the fruit ninja is your friend there.
I installed a bathtub, and I was done by like 8 or 9 p.m.
Did you make smoothies in it?
No, that's why I had the chocolate shake. Because it was like, I was sweating profusely all day because it was that day that was really hot. And it was like, yes, I've got the bathtub in. There's plumbing. There's no leaks. Everything is good. I set the mortar bed for it. It's great.
You should have
the upstairs bathroom?
Yeah.
You should have gotten enough milkshake to fill the bathtub and get in it and just put a straw.
That would be amazing for about 5 minutes, and then it would just be, like, really bad.
Until
your own juices started.
Yeah.
Although you'd be so cold, you wouldn't be able to sweat. So. Well, I should have put these two stories together. What a mistake. Whoops. But you know what? During the quarantine, I can't be judged for any of those problems.
It's true.
Yeah.
We tried our best.
The moon is not the only target that we must look for. We must look at any opportunity to escape this hellish planet. And it's, you know, but we'd take it with us.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. It'd be like Alien.
Yep.
Like we'd be up there celebrating. It's like, yeah, we can start over. And then somebody will just vomit blood.
Yeah.
Mars is the other one. And we are constantly looking for exciting new ways to explore Mars. This one's pretty cool.
NASA's Mars helicopter is ready for the red planet. The space agency has finished attaching it to the Perseverance rover. So it's solar powered. It's going to hang out on the rover for a month or two and charge up. And then it can fly. It can fly for up to 2 kilometers. They simulated Martian gravity and atmospheric conditions, and the atmosphere was sufficient for this little helicopter thing to fly.
6 inches off the ground.
Yeah.
It doesn't get a lot of air.
What if it hits a rock?
Yeah, well, got to be careful. It is funny, though. I wish there were more pictures, but it's going to just like a little baby kangaroo on the rover until the rover can get close enough to the crater where this thing is going to spend its entire life.
It's a 30-day mission for the flying thing, so that's not bad.
I'd say they'll probably get about 20.
Yeah, maybe.
It's going to, one of those rotors is going to hit something and just shatter. And it's just going to be like spinning in a circle, like drawing circles in the bottom of the crater. There has been a crazy argument, and we've talked about this before, but just to sum it up, a lot of people think that if Google links to a news site from Google News, they owe that site money. Even though people work really hard to drive traffic to their site from Google. That's a career. But they owe them money. Who would support that? What crazy political leader would even give that the time of day?
France rules Google must pay news firms for content. And you know what the craziest thing about this story is? Google said, okay, whatever. Just let us know.
I figured Google would just be like, okay, we'll just not serve search results in France.
I think Google, as long as it's not too expensive, as long as it's just like pennies, they can offset this with the ad dollars.
Even more ads.
But that's like such a precedent that like every other country is going to be doing the same thing, especially in the EU.
But also, I think Google probably understands that there's a time horizon on these news sites.
Probably a time horizon on the ads as well.
They can't survive. Yeah. And it has to change. The whole way this thing works has to change eventually. And I think Google's just like, yeah, we're not going to rock the boat. But we will be here when you're dead and buried and dust.
The scary version, like the scary obvious version of that future is that the news writers just write news and submit it to Google as content, and then Google monetizes it. Kind of like the way YouTube works, except for news content. But then only the most horrible, sensationalist news writers will actually get a lot of traffic
and eyeballs. Much like YouTube, Google will be able to surreptitiously control the narrative by monetizing or demonetizing as they see fit.
Yeah.
Giving them even more power. Well, the future looks bright, doesn't it?
Join our Patreon at patreon.com/level.
Which country was it? Was it Korea that open sourced their tracking app?
Yes.
They were the first. They did it well. It seems to have worked. If we can believe their numbers, they're still good, right? They haven't had the... They're flat.
Everybody in Korea always wears a mask and practices, like, safe hygiene.
That's racist.
Meanwhile, here, it's like, let's have Easter. It's like...
Did you see... I don't know if they went through with this. I mean, I agree with it, but I can see how a lot of people... This seems like, you know, the mark of the beast. They were going to go with license plate readers through church parking lots.
Yeah. I think that's probably reasonable.
Yeah, it is. But you're crossing the line where people do not behave reasonably.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, Korea, they seem to do it right. And they were like, here, have our app. And other countries are looking at that and they're saying, yes, we need to do this. Yeah.
Italy working on coronavirus tracing app to help lockdown exit. This might be a good separate standalone video for us because... You know, not the license plate reader, but we've also got the story coming up where other people are working on the license, or not the license tracking app, but just like tracking people. Yeah. And so it's like, how do you, you know, the technology's there. It's going to be abused. People are awful.
But the thing I don't like about this is, again, and Korea did it the same way, it doesn't empower the individual. You run this only as a spying tool.
Yeah.
And then it's up to the government to take all the action.
Yeah.
So, like you say, it's wide open for abuse to the most corrupt and sociopathic people in the country. We'll see how that works. So, you know, some sacrifice has to be made, but then this exists and everything's okay again. It's going to continue.
And there's
to
no
exist.
Way they're going to turn it off. Like,
so far, we have not welded the seniors into their apartment complexes, so that's probably good.
I'll give it time. Give it time.
I think that's the other thing. Well, it's like the Easter thing. I think the Chinese people are more pragmatic about that.
Yeah.
And we are much more attached to our old people.
Yeah.
And our old people are less likely to be like, well, if I have to take one for the team, all right. Could you just like drop off some water?
I think a lot of our old people are actually like that, but if it's like, it's not necessary that they be like that. It's just like some common sense and it would be fine. It's like,
I think you're overestimating a large swath of the population.
Help too, like when you read like the coronavirus subreddits and it's just like bad article and bad news after bad news.
You said the word.
Oh, no. Crap.
Anyway, on with the next story.
Well, speaking of China...
we could say it the rest of the episode, then.
I guess this is the canary.
Yeah.
So, speaking of China, they are... The trade war is on. It never stopped. When China was down, we were kicking them. Now we're down, and they're kicking back. But we're still, you know, we're on our back, swinging up, trying to continue the fight.
Security agencies want China Telecom barred from the U.S. So, this is neat. That's basically it. It's like China Telecom offering products and services in the U.S.? No. This would be bad, though, because doesn't China Telecom own a stake in one of our cellular providers?
I think they've been buying up a lot of stuff. Yeah. But it is a little disingenuous. At least it seems that way from them when they're like, hey, we're China Telecom... Doesn't have anything to do with the Chinese government.
It's like, I don't know.
It was, you know, the first time I went to Taiwan, I wasn't sure how to get, they were just like, get a SIM at the airport. And I wasn't sure, like, how that worked. And there were two different providers. And I picked one. And I was like, I need a SIM card. And they were kind of giving me, they were looking at me funny. And they were like, can we see your passport? And it was like, here you go. And they said, well, this telecom company is for Chinese citizens visiting Taiwan. You want to go to the other one. And I was like, okay, that's weird. And I asked about it, and it was because that cellular provider still has the Great Firewall of China, and the other cellular provider doesn't.
Because you don't want to hurt trade. You just want to keep your boot on the neck of your people. It's important to separate the two things. So, yeah. We would never get away with that here. That's the weird thing about it. That would be seen as unacceptable in this country.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you can't make two classes. So instead, we're just going to completely destroy your ability to, even though we probably get a lot more, you know, tourism and trade visits than they do.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe not, though, because they have the manufacturing. Well, remember Hong Kong? Remember what was going on in Hong Kong before all this happened? This really rained on their parade.
Like, it's almost a distant memory.
Yeah. But they never really stopped. Obviously, they had to stop when they were locked in their homes. But they're still trying. The spirit, I guess, is still somewhat alive. And they keep finding new and impressive ways to lash out at the powers that be.
Nintendo game pulled from Chinese platforms after Hong Kong protest.
This is Animal Crossing. I don't think they have a picture of how they did it, but so in Animal Crossing, you can invite people to your island. And if you went and visited this guy's island, this is Joshua Wong. His island was anti-Chinese government heavily.
That's amazing.
And a lot of people were visiting. It was a very popular island, and now, in a backlash, China has taken Animal Crossing off of all the app stores.
That's going to really upset some people, because I know a lot of people who the only reason they're not losing their minds right now is because of Animal Crossing.
Probably will just... What if the only thing that was keeping you from taking to the streets in protest was Animal Crossing, and now they've taken that away from you?
And it's like, well, you know.
I like
this
that.
This has to be stopped.
It's fun. It's fun.
It's weird that how many people could visit an island, though. I mean, it couldn't be that widespread.
I think you have to share your friend code somehow.
Well,
you
he's some sort of public figure, though, isn't he?
Oh, so he probably just posted on Twitter. Yeah, it's like, hey, let's do this.
Well, we do not currently have a physical connection for the internet between the U.S. and most of Asia. We go through intermediaries. And that's why, you know, you can't play good StarCraft against the Chinese. You just can't do it. It's impossible. But Google is looking to fix that. And this is going to be very politically interesting because of where they want to plug into.
Google gets green light for Taiwan Cable, but with a lot of conditions. One, the DOJ, super involved. The DOJ is going to review things like network diagrams and telecom companies and blah, blah, blah. Google's partnering with a Taiwanese company that's owned by apparently Chinese national, but that person and their company is not allowed to actually work on the network or the connection just after it gets into Taiwan. And also the network operations center, also not allowed to be in Taiwan. Also, it can't connect to Hong Kong. There's a lot of restrictions. Seems weird that the DOJ would be like, hey, let's not include Hong Kong in this thing going to Taiwan. Why would the DOJ even care? Oh, wait.
Yeah, interesting. Definitely gives Taiwan more power, though, in their little, you know, struggle that they got going on there. Or makes them a juicier target for occupation. One of the two. We'll see how that plays out. Over in Turkey, when things get weird in Turkey, they tend to just lock it down. Kind of like China. And any excuse for that, right? Well, all countries have the greatest excuse they've had in a very long time with what's going on right now. Turkey is not squandering it.
Turkey will require social media giants to appoint local representatives, draft law. So if your social media company is trafficked by like a million Turkish citizens or more, you need to have a local rep that can be tortured and or jailed. I mean, that can be confronted when there's issues.
They, give you a 72-hour window, and there is no, like, here's a list of things that aren't okay. It's you answer the phone at all times. When we tell you, you have 3 days to get it off, or you're done.
Nice.
It's a healthy way to go about dealing with social media.
But if history teaches us anything, they'll go for it, because they went for it in China. Turkey's a smaller audience, but I think they'll still go for it. And so one of the big things that is also being normalized during all of this is the, tracking people with cameras. I mean, we've got robots on the street at this point, and they're all using this recognition technology. And if that seems terrible to you, it is. But I don't know. It's a means to an end. Strange times. If you're afraid of that, one of the best ways to combat it is to become familiar with it. and you have an amazing new opportunity.
Researchers open source state-of-the-art object tracking AI. No, not that one. No, not that one. Not the one from Google. This is another one. This one's from MIT, and it's really, really good. It's Microsoft and Herzog University, not the one from... I thought it was MIT. I looked at the GitHub. I actually started to play with the code base on
MIT
this.
MIT was one that they compared it to.
Oh, okay. Fairmont is the name of this one. And it's new and unique, and it doesn't show up in Google searches yet. It's so new and unique. And it's actually quite good.
And it can't do, like, 30 frames per second, but I think it can do almost video. So you can sort of see here, this is how fast it can work.
Yeah, it's very close to 30 frames per second.
It looks like some sort of, like, digital art piece.
It's just pixels exploding.
It's mesmerizing. Out of a point. Yeah.
Time to hook it up to the security. I really want to do this as one of the level one videos, because I kind of got this working with some of the old the older OpenCV stuff. It's like the Hikvision cameras plus FFmpeg plus the image recognition AI. It's like when you see certain people, you can get a text message. Like, we could do a level one video on that.
Hmm. Who could we add as a person of interest that has just lost all trust in this building? Inside joke. Well, the AI is sort of standing beside us. We talked about robots last week, but robots, physical robots, are not the only way that we're combating this terrible thing that's happening around us. Also, artificial intelligence. And there's more and more we're developing new tools to fight.
Hospitals deploy AI tools to detect the thing on chest scans. So this is a very long article that goes that, like, ultimately the conclusion of this article is we can't depend on chest scans alone, but gosh, wouldn't it be nice if we could just pop somebody in a chest scan machine and know immediately if this may be a candidate for somebody that's infected with the thing? And it did, like, a really amazing job doing this, apparently. At one point in the article, I think it said it was above 90% accuracy. So,
of course, they're not doing very many chest scans at this point, I imagine, where they don't already suspect it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The, like, negatives are probably a little skewed, but still, why not use it? It's nearly free.
Neat.
Get it going. One thing that I had not considered this, but how could not be a better situation to use the robots. When I saw this headline, I thought it meant the people, the infected. And I was like, wow, that's dark, but I approve of it. But it's not the people.
It's just the test.
You have to... the virus itself must be studied. But that's terribly dangerous. You know, it's the live virus. It's there. What if it gets out? Do you want to drive it? Do you want to be the car driver that shuttles it to the next hospital?
Most of the infected are healthcare workers at this point.
Yeah, so nobody wants to drive this thing around, which is why we make Beep do it.
Beep. Supervised self-driving shuttles are moving those tests for that thing in Florida. Each shuttle is shadowed by a human driving a regular car. So the name of that service, Beep. You can see it in the picture there. This is pretty cool.
Yeah, totally. It's actually really cute.
It's the Mayo Clinic doing this too, by the way.
So it's not moving it on populated roads. They don't allow any other traffic on this road, but it's just moving it between hospitals. And that's great. So they have coolers that this thing goes into, and it's like full hazmat, put it on the Beep. Beeps it over to the other one, full hazmat, unloads it, and hopefully keeps them safe.
Can you imagine a future where, like, this becomes the takeover? It's like, man, I could really go for some Cracker Barrel. Oh, let me just beep you some.
I'm thinking more about, like, you know, your phone goes off and it's like, oh no, the app has identified, like, 5 points of contact that I've had in the last week, and then the beep slowly rolls up outside your house, and you're like, no, I don't want to go on the beep.
There's a bike rack on the front, but instead of, like, a bike on the bike rack on the front, it's a Terminator, and it's like, you have 30 seconds to comply, and it's like, oh, okay, here's my cheek swab.
No, you got to get on the beep.
Yeah, you get in.
It's taking
Oh, okay.
There's human-sized coolers in the beep.
And that's not for who the beep comes.
You let yourself down in.
For who the beep beeps.
That might be this week's title. That's not for who the beep beeps.
This one was a little bit of a bad headline. But, the thought process is the same. Everybody, the whole thing about, it's like, well, you used to make jet engines, now you make ventilators. You used to make video cards, now you make masks. Everybody has to do a second job to help.
NVIDIA is contributing its AI smarts to help fight the thing. It's a little bit like when Singer was making handguns, but okay, sounds good.
So they are applying their supercomputer AI stuff to help try and like genotype this thing and do some other things.
You know, I set up some of the machines here to do the folding thing, and like in terms of like raw computation that's available, it's probably about 6 million points a day, but they just we don't ever get any work units.
They were struggling with that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. That's like when the Red Cross gets too much blood. They sell it. So there are all types of fun grenades. You got high explosive, you got fragmentation, incendiary, you got flash. Man, there's no end to them. And now there's an exciting new one.
Two new ones, in fact. Army designs new camera drones to be fired from grenade launchers. One of them is a paraglider, and the other one is independently controlled. They can go up to 2 kilometers. They've got a live video feed. They're amazing little pieces of technology.
And the
Why
time.
Why do they need it in a grenade launcher, though?
Well, because you're going to, you know, cover most of the distance to the enemy just while it's in flight. And then it comes to life, and then you can spy. So if they have some system in to watch for, like, incoming aircraft, incoming projectiles will probably get through that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point.
But the runtime on this thing was like 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Which was incredible.
What kind of power system are they using? It's classified.
Definitely won't give the troops cancer.
My favorite grenade in PUBG was always the flash grenade because I always liked flashing my own teammates.
Yeah, we noticed.
It was hilarious. Every time we'd be driving and I would just light one up.
So that's cool. Gotta definitely be thinking about some countermeasures for that now if you're a military, because that's having just vision floating over your troops, devastating. You don't want that. This is interesting. A lot of people walk badly. I think probably most of us.
Yeah.
And we don't realize it. And they have these machines that, you know, it's like they hook you into this big Terminator looking thing and it can like, oh, here's what you're doing wrong. But that's really expensive. What if there was a way that everybody could have that?
AI-powered shoes unlock the secrets of your soul. And I was reminded of a particularly embarrassing childhood experience where the gym teacher was teaching me how to run. Because I had no idea.
What were you doing wrong?
I don't want to talk about it.
Is that a Patreon exclusive?
That might be a podcast exclusive, for the Patreon podcast, which we're probably going to do in the same format, I guess, if somebody reminds me.
Oh, they'll remind you.
Yeah, it's like whatever part of your brain where you instinctively know how to run, I don't have that.
Really? I think if we released a tiger in the office, you would instinctively know.
No, I mean, I've learned, but it was the gym teacher's personal mission for me to learn how to run properly.
But is it to this day when the need comes up, are you like, all right, initiate the run protocol?
Yes.
Are you like going through the steps?
Yep. Yep.
Oh, there's a Mark Zuckerberg joke in there. Well, speaking of robots, man, are they useful. And we're using them for all these amazing things. Last week we did the top five
picture
robots for the crisis. And this week we have two examples of stupid ways to use robots. But why not?
Robots replace Japanese students at graduation amid the thing. And the picture, like, or just...
Yeah, you gotta see it.
Yeah, you gotta see this.
You gotta run the video.
It's iPads on sticks is all it is.
We're getting some kind of overlay block.
I cannot wait until this becomes a thing we can do for meetings IRL.
I've actually kind of like for like problem clients, I've contemplated buying one of these and just setting it in their conference room and be like, whenever you need to meet with us, you just use that because we don't need to come here.
So I assume they didn't make it clear, but I assume they only had a couple of these and it cycled the face on the iPad as you went through.
To give you the experience of like walking on stage and getting your diploma.
What if you don't have a webcam and it's like, oh, sorry, you don't get to walk.
I think there's going to be a lot of really interesting novels that come out from people that are, you know, students and grad students that, you know, it's like the year that time lost, because there were a lot of like around like 1918 and 1920 and 21 when there were similar things that happened. Like the churches were shut down. Even the Pope was like, you know, churchless but not godless, I think was the headline. And the literature and the material that came out of that period in time was really interesting from that perspective. And it's been just long enough that we've forgotten it as a society, and so it's going to be that all over again.
And I think the better question, because it's Japan, but also got to be at the top of the minds of our YouTube audience, is could you substitute to your favorite anime girl?
Yes, absolutely.
For your
face rig?
Oh, that's like, important.
I'm going to graduate with my avatar. That would be amazing.
Is the school going to tolerate that?
No.
That's the truest form of myself.
You don't ask.
This is unusual for you. You're not going, you know, to your usual level of darkness here. It is going to be part of your identity to where that it's a crime for them to not let you identify as...
You know, they don't put up with that crap in Japan.
For now.
You know, there's still two genders in Japan. They don't really play that game yet. Maybe they will. Well, we'll see.
I identify as Sailor Moon. He's like...
You can't tell me.
They just shove the robot off the stage. Yeah. Take the diploma back. Now, maybe a little bit more of an adorable way to use robots during the crisis, but much more poorly executed was this one.
Taiwanese baseball team will use dressed up robots instead of fans when the season begins this weekend. So I guess the team itself is isolated enough, but there aren't any fans. They've just got these robots, which looks like some of Stacy's family.
Definitely, you know, air quotes around the word robot there. Some of these just seem to be mannequins.
They remind me a little bit of, like, remember when you used to play the Wii, like Wii Sports? It's the Wii crowd.
Or a much more dated reference, the crowd from the NES Pro Wrestling.
Remember that? They're just pixels.
They had a two-frame animation. Yeah. That's kind of what these guys remind me of.
The pink-haired one does look a lot like Stacy.
Listen, we don't have the CPU resources to update every pixel on this frame. Like, we're going to have to...
Yeah. Well, and there were also, you know, like four sprites that were just reused over and over.
Like, let's update it. Let's rotate. It's like the tricks on the original Super Mario Brothers, where the clouds and the bushes were the same, just with a different color.
I watched some clips. You know, I was just morbidly curious because they did the wrestling show with nobody. Like, they had the arena, but it was just empty.
Hmm.
And they still broadcast it. And that is definitely an art form that needs a crowd. But it was funny because they did, you know how they do the entrances and they come out and they like pose down for the people and talk to the people and stuff like that? They still did that. But there was no one there.
I've watched a few of the clips of like the late night TV, and the late night TV without the audience to laugh definitely takes something away.
Which is weird because the canned laughter and the forced laughter seems like such a terrible thing on television.
Yeah. But, well, some of it was so bad that it gives me hope. Like, hey, maybe one day level one will be this popular because I think we're already better than what I'm watching.
Yeah, I watched a couple of Conan O'Brien skits from his house.
Yeah.
Not very. He needs writers. He needs those writers.
Makes you feel a little bit better.
It does. It really does.
Well, that is it for today's edition. Tomorrow will be all business.
And it's time for another coffee for me.
Same.
I got kidney stones. I can't have coffee.
Oh.
You insensitive clod.
You have a pre-existing condition. Oh, no.
Krista, say bye.